Good morning, everyone. I'm going to be reading from 1 Timothy, and it would be 4:12-16. Now, when Diane called, she said that the pastor told her to give me four chapters, but fortunately, he relented. So that's good. Now, this is in your prayer Bible in the pews there. It's page 840. If you'd like to turn to that. And let me find this here. Oh, and I want to thank Jenny and, of course, Beth when she's here. The singing really helps, you know, it really helps me to get going. I wish I could sing on key, but I can't, but at least others can that are here, and I appreciate that. Okay, this will be 1 Timothy 4:12-16. Don't let anyone look down on you because you are young, but set an example for the believers in speech, in life, in love, in faith, and in purity. Until I come, devote yourselves to the public reading of Scripture, to preaching and to teaching. Do not neglect your gift, which was given you through the prophetic message when the body of elders laid their hands on you. Be diligent in these matters. Give yourself wholly to them, so that everyone may see your progress. Watch your life and doctrine closely. Persevere in them, because if you do, you will save both yourself and your hearers. Father God, we thank you for your written word. They've been trying to destroy the word since the time it was written and before. And we thank you, Father, that your word is true. It's never been disproven. I thank you, Father, and I pray that you will give us the words to speak to those loved ones and those that we know that are unsaved, that we may help to bring them to salvation through this precious word of Jesus Christ. And now I'd like to introduce again Greg Pollard, who's been here before. So again, Greg, if you would. Let me get all my things together here. There we go. Okay. Welcome.
Well, I'm excited to be here, but I'm excited for every day, and I hope all of you are too, because this is all we got. We just have today. We can't make any more time. We just have to do everything that we can today. And I'm not saying to be perfect, but just do the best you can. That's all God expects any of us to do. Just do the best you can. So I appreciate Todd asking me again to fill in for him. I guess that's a thumbs up, right? You know? If I hadn't heard from him for 3-4 years, I might have wondered, what's going on? But no, it's all good. And when I say I hope all of you look forward to each day, I mean, you can't imagine how much I look forward to each day. You know, I'm retired. I've been retired for 4.5 years, worked my butt off. Unfortunately, I probably put the company, you know, up too high, where it's supposed to be. You know, it's supposed to be God, family. Yeah, I had God in there, but I had the business up there too high. And a lot of men are like that. And a lot of fathers feel like that. That we weren't there for our families, but now that I'm retired, I mean, I can't wait for the next day. And it's not just for my kids, my grandkids, it's for the church, what I get to do for the church, what I get to do for the widows of the church. They give my day purpose. And when I can volunteer to come out and rototill a garden in the spring, and I can volunteer to come out and put that same garden to bed in the fall and mow in between. I mean, that makes your life, that's a win-win. I mean, it makes my life fantastic. And they appreciate it so much because the one widow I'm talking about, she had back surgery, she walks with a cane. But gardening is her focus. And she didn't have a garden last year, and I made sure she had a garden this year. And that's what makes life great. You know, you put others first, and that's what we're supposed to do. We all know that. We're supposed to put others first. We humble ourselves. That humility that says, put others first. That's what Jesus Christ did. He put everybody else above him, and that's what we're supposed to do. So I've had this message planned, and I hope I have enough time because, and maybe I've had too much time. I've added quite a bit, but I have to add one more thing today that just happened yesterday that's unbelievable, and maybe I'll cut out something. But in men's fellowship yesterday, a young man, young to me, I'm sorry, he's like in his mid-40s. Young man shows up at men's fellowship, and we have a great group of guys that Saturday mornings at 8 o'clock we come together, and we talk about life, and we talk about the Bible, and he showed up, and I knew he'd been on dialysis for quite some time, and other problems, and he shared with us that this summer, either July or August, his dad's brother and his wife came up to visit, and you know, they don't come up often. So they were visiting, and this young man had to get up and leave, and say, yeah, I gotta go do some stuff, and his aunt said, well, what do you gotta do? You know, I'm kind of up here visiting, so he says, well, I gotta go do my dialysis. And she says, really? I said, yeah, you need a new kidney? I said, yeah. So she says, well, what's your blood type? And he said, I think A positive, does that sound right? And I don't even know my blood type. Isn't that sad? A positive. She's, oh my word, that's my blood type. And she says, I'm on a donor list down in Florida for a kidney. And he's, you know, you, not a blood relative or anything. It's his uncle's, you know, his aunt, but it's his uncle's wife. So not a blood relative. So, you know, just kind of, oh, yeah, cool. Yeah, I appreciate it. But she got back down there, and she did the test. And she's a match. Now, do you know what the odds are of a non-blood relative being a match? I mean, nobody's perfect except for a twin. But as perfect as you could possibly be, she's a match. And this young man's going, And he's still got some issues. He has one more surgery to, minor, but one more surgery he has to do. She has, and she's in her 50s. So they have to make sure that she's able to do this. But the most amazing thing, and this is when you know there's a plan for each one of us. His aunt has three functioning kidneys. Now you tell me that he didn't have that plan way back. He knew. I mean, we just broke down yesterday and we prayed. And just to think that God, I mean, we know God knows everything. We you know, he's there, and he's back. I mean, he can go through time, but have that plan for one of his children. And you know, and we all have those moments where we go, geez, you know, God can't forgive me. I've done too many bad things. And this fellow, you know, he's the same thing. Are you serious, God? You really have this plan for me, that my aunt, and she didn't even know. They hadn't told anybody. They weren't trying to broadcast it. Oh man, he's sick, and it just happened. Oh, I gotta go do dialysis, why, and all this, and then to find out she's a match, and then to find out I've got three kidneys, and that she'll be fine after she gives up a kidney. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. So another couple things I had planned on, you know, doing. The giving and receiving thing is the same kind of thing that you know, I try and help people at the church in that. And I even started a little ministry called HCC Hotline this year. And I got 19 incredible people signed up for it. And it was intended to if somebody's lawnmower wouldn't start, you know, we'd go out there and get it started. If somebody's lawnmower broke, I'd take it in and, you know, to the repair shop. If you need a ride to a doctor's appointment, whatever, you know, if you need it right now, call the church. They'll get a hold of me. I'll go down through and I got a volunteer right here. Wants to do that. But it hasn't taken off. And I've been able to help a couple people, but not on the, oh my gosh, got to do it right now type thing. It's like, right. And one was the garden thing. She said, man, I'd love to have a garden. Like, really? I'm your guy. And what even made it better, I was able to borrow a rototiller from another widow, grab that one over and do that. So that worked. And then another woman in the church, fantastic. She has our Simpler Times ministry. And Todd and Amber and the girls went through it last year. And she had about 7 trees that came down and over her trails. And she thought, hey, I'll talk to Greg. So she talked to me, and I said, man, I'm there. I just bought a brand new chainsaw. Go figure. So I got a brand new chainsaw, went out there and cut up 6 small trees. And then she, after I had a little break, she took me over to the monster tree. And that took me 2 days. But it was big. Man. I didn't think I was going to get it either, but got it. So anyway, the whole point is that, you know what? It's biblical. That one, we give. 2, we got to have receivers. You can't give if nobody's willing to receive. And you don't know how God plans on answering some of your prayers, some of your requests. He does it through your fellow people in the pews, fellow Christians, other people. It could even be a stranger. You don't know, but you have to open yourself up to receive what you're asking for. And take on that humility a bit, not that I can do it myself, but we know we can't. And when we think we can, then we get ourselves in trouble, and we know that. I did the whole thing last year on the caddy deal. Bad weather, the guy used his caddy on every single hole, 2 under par, and then the next day, brilliant sunshine, oh, I can do it myself, no big deal, and shot himself right out of contention. Once we get to that point where we think we can do it ourselves, that God doesn't have our back, that God doesn't have that plan for us, then we're in trouble, and then nothing gets done. So I just want to mention that when you have somebody who wants to give you something, you know, I've experienced it myself. I've gone to Lowe's a couple times, and you know, in my old age, when I'm buying some of this bigger stuff, I bought a room air conditioner, and it was hard enough just to get it on the cart, and then to get it out in the parking lot, and I could not get it up on the bed of the pickup truck. And I don't know if I looked forlorn or just looked flat out old. I'm not sure, but this young fellow came up, and you know, because I'm. You know, he came up, and I mean, in a matter of 2 seconds, boom, that's up in the truck. And I'm going, thank you. And you know what? You know what that did for him? That made his day. And if I'd have said, I got this, you know, don't worry, I got, you know, go shopping. Then he'd have said, boy, I'm never going to offer to help again. But yeah, thank you. Absolutely, thank you. And that made his day. It really made my day. Really saved my back. I don't know what I would have done. A couple weeks later, I'm buying a solid wood door for my son and daughter-in-law. And had it on one of those vertical carts. And I got it out to the truck again. And this time, seriously, I had no way of getting this solid wood door. I had no idea how heavy it was because the guy way in the back threw it in there. Younger fellow came up and said, you need help? And I said, you betcha. But that did take 2, because we were one end I was at, he was at the other end. But I needed the help, and I accepted the help. God put him in my path. I know that. Because he knows what the older fellows can and can't do. So he put him right there, right at the right time. Again, made his day, made my day, and that's what you have to do. You have to accept the help of others, knowing that it comes right from God. He knows what's going on. And the time we think he doesn't know what's going on, that we're kind of fooling him, well, we're just fooling ourselves. So he knows what's going on. I think I've got one more little... We got a couple old sheds out at the church, and we've been talking for years about what are we going to do with these sheds. And seriously, 3 years now since Pastor Dan came, and he got with me and said, "Craig, what are we going to do with them?" And I said, "Well, they need to come down. You know, there's no doubt about it. They need to come down." So now it's 3 years later. Well, they're still up. And but a couple weeks ago, people were talking, and they said, "Well, we want to do something with them. We're either going to tear them down, or we're going to make them better." Well, they're going to make them better, but to do that, you got to get them cleaned out. So another one of my Christian brothers and I, we met up at church on a cold Tuesday morning. I'm telling you, the frost on the ground, and we were back, the sun wasn't hitting us. We were freezing our butts off. It was cold. But you know what? The wonderful thing that I'd read that day and the word for you today was, stop procrastinating and do it. That was the word for the day. Stop procrastinating and do it. And the coolest thing was at the end, and I'm going to read this twice because I had to read it about three times. It's, today is the tomorrow that you talked about yesterday. Right? Today is the tomorrow you talked about yesterday. And it says, so stop procrastinating and just do it. How often do we just talk about stuff? Yeah, we need to get together and it never happens. Yeah, we need to do this project, it never happens. Well, you can't make more time. You know, we can. People that are still working, they can make some more money. If they make, you know, mistakes or whatever, they can make some more money. They can cover their mistakes. Well, if we make a mistake with time, we can't make more time, we can't get more time, and you can't go back and utilize what you lost. So today is the tomorrow that you talked about yesterday. So just do it. I got to get to my order of worship here. Okay. I've got one last thing because this is something that we need in our mirrors every day. It's the prayer of surrender, and I read it last year, but it's for all of us and what we should do. And it's the prayer of surrender. Lord, I am broken. And we know it. I am broken. I am shattered. I am ruined before you. Humbly, I bow down and lay these pieces at your feet. All I am is yours. My heart, my steps, every moment, every breath, I surrender. And that's what we need to do every day. We need to surrender ourselves to God every day and say, God, I will seek your will in my life. I will do everything I can to seek your will. And of course, we do that through prayer. That's where you get that one-on-one relationship, that intimate relationship with God. It's through prayer. So you have to seek his will, and you have to surrender to his will for you. Even Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, surrendered his will to his Father. And if there's any other way, Lord, if it's your will, that's what I will do. Well, Lord, if it's your will, that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to surrender to you because I think you're a lot smarter than I am. You know, he knows more about what's going on and what needs to be done and how we all can help each other. And all right,
what we all need, a prayer of surrender.
Okay, we've got, if we don't have enough time to get through the message, that's fine. I covered some pretty important stuff, but it is important, encouragement, words of encouragement. You know, words of encouragement are important, but also our actions are important, as important, that encourages others, and our attitude. So there's three things: words, our actions, and our attitude encourages other people. And encouragement is to add courage. A person who gives encouragement is helping another person become bolder and braver. That is adding courage to that person. Encouragement helps a person stand firm. Well, if there wasn't a time that we need to stand firm, isn't it now? We need to stand firm. On the other hand, discouragement, discourage a person is to take away that person's courage. And that's the last thing we want to do. All right, that's the absolute worst. But you know that happens way too often. You know, what are you thinking? Are you serious? You know, you can knock the air out of somebody's sails with like two or three words. You can do it even with a look, can't you? And we can't do that. We've got to be the encourager. Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, is our encourager, right? I mean, the whole Bible is our encourager. So what? We're supposed to do less? Of course not. We want to encourage them. I want to be an encourager for Christ, and I'm sure all of you do too. You know, when a person is working for God, as we all are, we want to encourage them to continue. We want to help Christians keep going and do their best. And Rick Warren, in his book, Purpose Driven Life, says, you know, a church family will help keep you from backsliding. And none of us are immune to temptation. Given the right situation, you and I are capable of any sin. God knows this, so he has assigned us as individuals the responsibility of keeping each other on track. The Bible says, and this is Hebrews 3:13, encourage one another daily so that none of you may be hardened to sin's deceitfulness. That deceitfulness that sin can just creep into our lives. Well, now we encourage each other daily. And we are called, I'm saying, mind your own business is not a Christian phrase. It isn't. Mind your own business, of course not. We are called and commanded to be involved in each other's lives. If you know someone who is wavering spiritually right now, it's your responsibility to go after them and bring them back into fellowship. James tells us in James 5:19, if you know people who have wandered off from God's truth, don't write them off. Go after them. Get them back. That's what we're supposed to do. Don't just say, can't do it. No, we're not supposed to. Go after them. So I got a couple of scriptures here to read. First is 2 Corinthians 13, verse 11, and my cold's kicking in a little bit more, so if I have to stop and blow my nose, bear with me, I'm sorry. My little 3-year-old granddaughter sneezed in my face Friday, and man, Friday night, I'm getting a cold. All right, 2 Corinthians 13, verse 11. Dear brothers and sisters, I close my letter with these last words. Be joyful. Grow to maturity, encourage each other, live in harmony and peace, then God of love and peace will be with you. Well, the Bible's to live by, but words to live by there. Next, we've got 1 Thessalonians 5,
verses 9 through 11.
For God chose to save us through our Lord Jesus Christ, not to pour out his anger on us. Christ died for us so that whether we are dead or alive, when he returns, we can live with him forever. So, encourage each other and build each other up. We're commanded to do that. Encourage each other and build each other up. Boy, that.
You just have to love verses like that, that how we're supposed to live our lives. And Paul, he knew that, and that's where the 1 Timothy 4, 12 through 16 came in. Paul was aware that
Timothy needed encouragement. My goodness.
As Dan read in 1 Timothy 4, 12 through 16, Timothy was literally just a young pastor. And it would have been very easy for older Christians to just literally take advantage of him. But because of his youth. And that's literally why Paul wrote in verse 13, until I get there, focus on reading scriptures to the church, encouraging the believers and teaching them. Focus. Yeah, we have to focus. Timothy, focus on that. Don't worry about the older Christians that are not giving you the respect that the man of your position should get. I mean, you have to earn your respect. It's not automatically given to you. But there are those that, no matter what you do, you're not going to get it. They've just got it. They're not going to have a soft spot in their heart, whatever. But focus. Timothy, focus on scripture, reading, teaching. So until I get there, focus on reading scriptures to the church, encouraging the believers and teaching them. Each day, we have many opportunities to support and inspire family members, fellow workers, and sometimes even total strangers. That's when it really gets exciting. When you can encourage a total stranger. I was in Harbor Freight Tools looking at some new trailer lights. And a man about my age, kind of telling the guys my age that, and walked to me. I had a box in my hand, and he said, "So, what do you think? Is that a good one to buy?" And yeah, that's the best. That's the best and the cheapest. He was looking at a $30 one that was going to be a bear to wire up, and I said, "Trust me, this little deal right here, and what are you using it for?" And, "Well, I'm going to tow a vehicle." "Oh my gosh, this is perfect. It's got the magnets on the lights. It's exactly what you want to do. You're not rewiring all this stuff." And him and I were able to talk for probably 15, 20 minutes. And I was able to tell him about our church and about grandkids. And he was able to tell me about his grandson that he took care of for the first 5 years. And then suddenly, it's like he doesn't exist anymore. And it was crushing to him. But I was able to share. And I keep at it, get with your kids now. I want to be part of their lives. Grandparents are important in their grandchildren's lives. There's no question about that. Our kids are busy, busy, busy. Grandparents, not so much. We got the time and the patience. We can be there for the grandkids. You've asked that 75 times. That's okay. You can ask it 76. We've got the patience, and hopefully we've got the wisdom that we can help our grandkids. Keep on your kids. Don't let them shut you out. 5 years, you basically raised that kid, and now you're not. So, if we can even affect a stranger, encourage strangers. I think some Christians are literally, and I put this in quotes, dying on the vine for lack of encouragement from other believers. And you've got Proverbs 15:23 that says, "A man has joy in an apt answer, and how delightful is a timely word." How delightful is a timely word? Huge, huge. Isn't that true? It's the delightful thing to receive a timely word. Proverbs 15:30 says, "Bright eyes gladden the heart. Good news puts fat on the bones." and which means it will give you emotional prosperity, make your heart lighter, make the day seem more bearable. Wow. Words. Words of encouragement. Makes the heart lighter. Makes the day. Yeah, of course. Henry Ford, way back, 1896-ish, he attended a company event where Thomas Edison was there too. Thomas Edison, the great inventor. Well, he was the guest of honor, Thomas Edison. So his friend introduced, a friend of Henry Ford introduced him to Thomas Edison, and he said, this is the man trying to make a car that runs on gasoline. Okay. Edison asked young Henry Ford a host of questions, and when the talk was over, Edison banged his fist down on the table and said, "That's it. You've done it. You're making your own power plant. The car is self-contained." And years later, Ford, reflecting on their first meeting, said in a newspaper interview, "That bang on the table was worth worlds to me. No man up to then had given me any encouragement. I had hoped that I was headed right. Sometimes I knew that I was headed right, but sometimes I wondered. But all at once, out of the clear sky, the greatest inventive genius in the world had given me complete approval. The man who knew the most about electricity in the world had said that for this purpose, my gas motor was better than any electric motor." Now, of course, we don't know if he hadn't gotten that encouragement, he wouldn't have continued. But it sure doesn't hurt. And I'll bet you that really spurred him on. And he probably went home that night and just worked feverishly on that motor. When you get encouraged by somebody like Henry Ford, that's incredible. But it's also incredible to be encouraged by one of your fellow Christians, too. Don't ever sell yourself short that you can't be the great encourager. Because we all can. The lack of encouragement, literally, is almost an epidemic. The Hayden Planetarium in New York, they accepted applications from people that wanted to go to another planet. And they got 18,000 applications from people that wanted to go to another planet. And keeping in mind that, if you followed anything, if you go to that other planet, I'm serious, you're not coming back here, okay? You're never, ever coming back here. So it's a one-way trip. And the Hayden Planetarium, turned these 18,000 applications over to a group of psychologists. And they said, those applications are given to the psychologists, and upon reviewing them, concluded that the vast majority of those who had applied wanted to start a new life on another planet because they were so discouraged on this planet. Isn't that sad? But you know what's sadder? I guarantee you those people didn't, I don't know how many of the 18,000, maybe the 16,000 that they concluded. But anyway, I guarantee you those that were so discouraged didn't have God in their lives. Okay? They didn't have God in their lives. They didn't have fellow Christian brothers and sisters in their lives that were watching out for them. They were just doing it by themselves. All right? I can do it myself. I don't need help. I can do it. And, doggone it, I'm so discouraged, though, I'm going to go to another planet. It's just mind-boggling that with so available and so wanting to love us all. He wants all of his children to be with him, and yet you've got these people that, I'm good, but I am darn awful discouraged, so let's go to another planet soon. It just kills me when I read that. Let's see. I'm going to skip ahead. When we think about words of encouragement and how words have an effect, and we do want to say the right words, and you think about the effect that words have, and you think about the effect that words have on a parent when they speak to a child, the effect a husband's words have on a wife, and vice versa, you know. The impact a boss's words have on an employee. Words said in love, words said in anger, words said in, of course, encouragement. Words said as gossip, probably one of the worst. The last words on a deathbed, words from others have helped shape our lives. And just as our words has helped shape others' lives, you know, kids, grandkids. All of us should want to encourage people with the words we say. The task of encouragement is not about us. It's about helping others. It's about saying words that build up, words that give hope, and words that give courage. One of the highest human duties is the duty of encouragement. It is easy to laugh at men's ideals. It's easy to pour cold water on their enthusiasm. It's easy to discourage others. The world is full of discouragers. We have a Christian duty to encourage one another. Many a time, a word of praise or thanks or appreciation or cheer has kept a man on his feet. Blessed is the man who speaks such a word. So the next one, on actions. You know, we've always heard that actions speak louder than words. Well, no, on encouragement, words speak louder than actions. Actions can show, you know, people can see us do the actions, but words are more powerful in this instance. And people notice what we do by our actions. We are setting an example for others to follow. James 1:22, but don't just listen to God's word. You must do it. Do what it says. Looking at love or showing our love for someone, it's more action than emotion. Looking at 1 Corinthians 13:4-7, it's love is patient and kind. Love is not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. It does not demand its own way. It's not irritable. And it keeps no record of being wrong. Love that. It does not rejoice about injustice, but rejoices where the truth wins out. Love never gives up, never loses faith, is always hopeful, and endures through every circumstance. Let's look at why we can say love is more about action than our emotions. We can literally choose to be patient or not to be patient. We can choose to show kindness or not to show kindness. We can choose to be self-centered or Christ-centered. We can choose to hold a grudge or let it go. We can choose to be loving towards others or be indifferent. All actions as opposed to emotion. Our actions are examples for others to follow. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 11:1, be imitators of me as I am of Christ. Let us be examples of encouragement by what we do. We need to act like our Father in heaven. Let's imitate him by our actions. This way, we are setting the example for all to see. This little deal is from Charles Swindoll in Strengthening Your Grip. Words can never adequately convey the incredible impact of our attitude towards life. And that's the third one, attitude. Attitude is huge. So words can never adequately convey the incredible impact our attitude has towards life. The longer I live, the more convinced I am that life is 10% what happens to us and 90% how we respond to it. I believe the single most significant decision I can make on a day-to-day basis is my choice of attitude. It is more important than my past, my education, my bankroll, my success or failures, fame or pain, what other people think of me or say about me, my circumstances or my position. Attitude keeps me going or cripples my progress. Attitude keeps me going or cripples me. It doesn't let me move forward. It alone fuels my fire or assaults my hope. When my attitude is right, there's no barrier too high, no valley too deep, no dream too extreme, no challenge too great for me. When my attitude is right. And we want our attitude to be right all the time. We have enough other people trying to hold us back. We can't hold ourselves back by a wrong attitude, bad attitude, woe is me attitude. Karen and I were talking about that a little bit this morning. But yeah, we can't have that woe is me. Have that attitude. I can do it. Man, I will do it. And don't let me think that just because I've got a couple ailments, I can't do it. There's others with far worse conditions than us. Get that attitude right. So when you put your trust in God, He will give you the strength each and every day to meet any challenge we face. Put your faith in Him, depend on Him, because He is our encourager. And that allows us to be an encourager. I urge you to encourage others with your words. Tell them how much you appreciate them. Tell them how much you love them. Encourage others with the example you set. Be doers of the word and show people how much you love them by being loving towards them. Encourage others by having a positive outlook on life. And there's Stuart Briscoe tells the story of something that happened to Howard Hendricks when he was in elementary school. Howard had come from a broken home. A broken home, a broken family, and he was a problem kid. During his first day in fifth grade, the teacher said, "Ah, Howard Hendricks, I've heard a lot about you. I understand you are the worst kid in school." And you know what? That year, Howard made sure he was the worst kid in school. Why not? The next year, sixth grade, rolled around, and his sixth grade teacher said to him, "So you're Howard Hendricks. Mm-hmm. I've heard you are the worst boy in this school." And you know, Hendricks thought, "Oh boy, here we go again." And of course, here we go again. But then the teacher continued, "And you know what? I don't believe a word of it." And Howard said that year his teacher did everything she could to help him and encourage him and praise his work, and she believed in him. And Hendricks credits her with changing his life forever. Forever. This poor kid was the year before, "You're the worst kid in this whole school." I don't know how many kids. Just be a few. "If you're the worst kid, you're the worst kid." The next year, "Oh man, I've heard the same thing, but no. I don't believe it. I'm going to encourage you. I'm going to have faith in you. And I'm going to trust you. You're not that bad." So, remember to encourage each other daily while it is still today. And you know what? One of the best things about when we do encourage others and we are encouraged ourselves, that we can get the holy boldness that God wants each and every one of us to have. And we need more of that out there. Love God, love others, and as we go make disciples. Well, you got to have that holy boldness to do that. And you're not going to have that if you're not encouraged. You know, people are trying to discourage you. People are saying your idea is crazy or roll their eyes. No, we need to encourage others so that we have the holy boldness we need and that God loves. And we will use our holy boldness to speak up for Jesus to stand firm on our faith in Jesus, and to step out on behalf of Jesus. Holy boldness. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we again thank you for this, another wonderful day that you've given to us. Another day where your grace and your love is renewed in each one of us. A day that we look to you for guidance, and knowing that you're right there with us each step, that you know our gifts and what we're capable of. And Father, we thank you for all those that are encouragers now, but we look forward to having more people that encourage others, that see a need and meet that need. And Father, we do need that boldness. This is a time that us Christians need to be bold, we need to be seen, we need to be understood for what we truly stand for, and that is love you, love others, and as we go, make disciples. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.